We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Aikman is intercepted by Sam Mills. Steve Smith is going to go all the way. Panthers win in overtime.
Newton steps up, goes for the end zone. Olsen, touchdown!
This one is picked again. Intercepted by Boston.
Bridgewater, throw into the end zone. Touchdown!
Samuel, still on his feet, inside the five, to the end zone, touchdown! What a play!
And it is caught for the touchdown by Moore.
And in the foot race, McCaffrey to the end zone.
Keep pounding on three! One, two, three!
Keep pounding!
Welcome back to another episode of The Roar. I am your host, Billy Marshall, and this evening, to help us preview the Week 8 opponent, the Atlanta Falcons, I am joined by Matt from The Falcoholic. You can find him on Twitter, at FalcoholicMatt. Matt, how are you?
I think I'm doing better than a lot of Carolina Panthers fans, pretty well.
Well, I mean, the good news is, you know, a lot of people in the Charlotte and the Carolina area, they don't really have like a local baseball team. So most of them, at least from my experience, are Braves fans. So I think we both have some sort of sporting success that we can call, have something to fall back on. Obviously, knowing the history of Atlanta sports, you don't want to get too comfortable with where they are right now. But I mean, this Falcons team is so interesting to me just because like, I didn't really have much expectations for them. I was on a Falcons podcast earlier this summer and I kind of predicted like eight to nine wins for them, similar to Carolina. But after their first two games, like they've had a lot of kind of soft opponents. I mean, to put it lightly, and they're winning actually close games now. Like I know the Washington loss was kind of hard to stomach, but hey, I mean, you come back and you beat the Dolphins, not a good team, but you beat them on last minute and you hold off the Jets, one score win, and you did the same thing against the Giants. So is there something like kind of crazy going on here where the Falcons are actually like kind of turned the tide and are finally looking decent in close games?
Well, you know, you did mention obviously the long history of Atlanta sports. So, I think if you ask any Atlanta fan anything, they're going to qualify their answer. And I feel like doing that too. They look, especially compared to say week one, where they look like a disaster. It looked like we were headed towards, 0-17. They could have been the first team to do that. They're just terrible against the Eagles. They have been pretty good against some really bad teams, admittedly, but you are kind of seeing the you're seeing the scheme kind of progressing, more of these plays being installed. You're getting some good development out of the roster, especially a number of rookies. Obviously, Atlanta has zero cap space, so there really wasn't money to be adding, say, any big name free agents. They signed a bunch of people you kind of have to Google first. And now a lot of these players are turning into, like valuable little playmakers and stuff like that. So, you know, to kind of circle back on this, I think that this team is at least flirting with averageness, which is really, really good for the Falcons the last couple of years, who have been, you know, who wish they could have been average. It's going to take a little while until I think they, you know, like you said, until they play some better teams. That's not going to happen this Sunday or anything. You know, the things seem to be trending in a good direction, which is the first time I've seen that in quite a while. So there's my qualified answer of potentially maybe.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, obviously winning is the ultimate goal, but, like, I mean, their point differential is still, like, one of the worst in the league. And I think that's I think they'd actually that Bucs game, the score flattered Tampa a little bit. I mean, those pick sixes kind of were just a little fluky. But even then, like, the way they're winning these games, I think, is probably a testament to their offense, especially because I don't really see much talent, again, defensively. I know you and I were joking. I think it was during the Jets game where it was just like, where is this pass rush? Like, the Jets have, like, they're missing their left tackle and they have a bunch of, like, rookies and not good players, and they still couldn't generate anything. And I was watching the Dolphins game yesterday or this morning, actually. And I noticed the same thing. I mean, this is not a good, like, offensive line. It's the Dolphins. Like, I know Tua gets the ball out really quickly, but, like, where's the pressure? And that's kind of, like, where I want to start is, like, defensively. I know Dean Pease has, like, a long track record of, you're just being able to create competent defenses. But what are you seeing from this unit that kind of gives you a little bit of optimism? Maybe is it still the linebacker play? I know they got a lot of speed there with Jones and the other guys. Or are you seeing some of the similar issues that have plagued the team in the past, such as the pass rush?
Oh yeah, the pass rush has been an ongoing problem since I mean, quite honestly, I think since they cut John Abraham, I think a decade ago, nearly. So you know, I think that your analysis is spot on. There is not a lot of talent on this defense. It is just it is just a barren wasteland of a lot of very trash players. I will tell you that right off. If you take Grady Jarrett out of the mix, the entire defensive line, these are all backup quality players. Like, these players would not be starting on, I'd say 80%+ of the defenses in the league. You know, same goes for the safeties. The safeties are bad. There's not depth at there's not depth at quarterback. If you get rid of AJ Terrell, this is again a lot of just very replaceable bad football players. But that, you know, the one thing I'll say is Dan Pease, he obviously can't, he's not going to be able to create an elite defense with what they have, but he has been reasonably good about you know, about putting out a decent defense on the field. And, you know, I think where you might not have seen it as much in, say, Miami, because you do have Tua, who's a little bit more mobile. I think the I'm trying to think of our different weeks of who else they played. I mean, if you're playing New York, either the New Yorks, I think both of those quarterbacks are fairly mobile. One of the things that I'm kind of expecting on Sunday is to see a heavy bit of blitzing. You know, Sam Darnold is just not he's not a runner. I think we're gonna see him get hit a decent bit, but it's probably gonna be from the linebackers, maybe some sort of you know, blitz from a defensive back or something, because there's no one on the edge who's gonna be able to bring that home. Even Dante Fowler, who maybe a backup or, like, say a you know, a pass rush specialist on another team, he was really our only pass rusher outside of Grady Jarrett, and he's on injured reserve right now, and you know, won't be playing on Sunday. So so the pass rush is awful. It's atrocious. But you know, with a quarterback like Sam Darnold, I think Dan Pease is going to, you know, reach into his bag of tricks and, you know, send a lot of pressure at Darnold. And, You know, I don't know if he's going to get sacked, but he's going to, I kind of expect him to get hit a good bit.
Yeah, I mean, don't hold back in your criticism or your feelings for Sam Darnold.
Well, this
seems like you're being a little too generous to him.
Well, so this is funny because I do so very much want to pile on Sam Darnold because it's so fun and it's so easy. But so it's a little interesting because this offseason when when I wasn't really sure, like, hey, you know, is Atlanta going to go for quarterback at some point? Like, they're going to need to bring in depth. And I thought, you know what? They could trade for Sam Darnold for, say, like a mid-round pick. I was thinking something like a third round, and he could be like your backup. You could give him a year or two to kind of develop, and then at that point you figure out, like, all right, do you want to go ahead and pay him? Do you want to not pay him? Something like that, you know, a reasonable investment into a, potential franchise quarterback, but obviously, like, he wouldn't be starting. And then Carolina traded what? A second and a fourth round pick for him, and then they exercised that fifth year option on him, and then it was just like, boom, he's a starter. I was like you better really, really, really hope the problem was Adam Gase, because with Darnold, with Darnold, you at least you had a couple things that, like, you could look at and you could say, like, oh, you know what, there's a quarterback there. But then you also had a number of other things where you would look at it and you're like, oh no, like, this is very bottom of the league, and I just wasn't really sure exactly, which one was the real Darnold. But this actually does remind me, I know we'll probably touch on Sam Darnold at some point, but one of our Falcoholic writers had looked at the PFF grades for quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. Number one quarterback over the last 4 weeks via PFF is Matt Ryan, which feels pretty awesome for an Atlanta fan. The worst quarterback the last 4 weeks, Sam Darnold. So it'll be a really interesting matchup of, two different sides of that PFF score.
Well, you know, some of the Darnold apologists that there's a few of them.
Oh, are there really?
There's a couple of them remaining. There were a lot more, not necessarily apologists. They just wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. Regardless, he's going up against, like you said, a pass rush that's not very good. And Carolina's offensive line, it's not very good. So, but their offensive line has played better in the past couple of weeks. Still not average, but going from terrible to below average is an improvement. And I think they should have a decent game. I don't know how well they will stop some of their guys, like Jarrett in particular, but I'm hoping that they play at a respectable level, just so we can see, just so the Darnold evaluation can get a little more crystal for some of the few apologists who are out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think you'll see that. Like I said, I do expect to see a good bit of blitzing, but Darnold's still going to have time. This really is an atrocious defensive line. Quite honestly, there's a Grady Jarrett, and I don't even know who I would say is the second best defensive lineman. I don't even know. This is really it's really kind of like a race to the bottom as of that point. So, like, he'll get his time. I think it probably, I think it's most likely going to depend a little bit more on if he gets shook and start. Oh yeah. Oh, that's right. This is a Darnold quote, was the seeing ghost thing. But I would kind of expect Pease to at least, to turn up the blitz early on and then kind of see how he does with that. Cause you have certain quarterbacks, Matt Ryan being one of them. If you start hitting them early, you don't even have to continue blitzing. They're just not going to play well the rest of the game. And that's what my plan would be if I was scheming it up. Dan Pease obviously being much smarter than myself. So we'll see what happens on Sunday.
I want to stick quickly before we move to the other side of the ball is, what's up exactly with, you said your safeties are terrible and you guys are playing a lot of rookies. Does that mean that your second rounder, Richie Grant, is getting a lot of time? I liked him a lot coming out of UCF. I thought he was outstanding, especially at the Senior Bowl. Is he playing quite a bit, or is he still kind of working himself into the rotation?
So that's actually a good question. So he, So it wouldn't have been against Miami, but I think it would have been the Jets game was when he first finally started, but he was just filling in. He was just filling in due to injury. So Richie Grant's been a little frustrating as a fan because quite honestly, he's competing with a bunch of guys who are, you know, probably going to be working at UPS next year. And, you know, was unable to say secure that starting job early on. But I will say that Arthur Smith, the new head coach for the Falcons, he has mentioned that it's been a focus. I think Dan Pease has echoed this as well. They've had a focus on not overwhelming their rookies. And, you know, it's just something to kind of note because we do have the extended season now. It is 17 games, and a lot of these players have gone from, you know, they've gone from their they've gone from college their junior senior year, then they go immediately into draft preparation and training, then they get to the combine, they're doing interviews, you get you get drafted, rookie mini camp, training camp, then you get into preseason and then 17 games, and a lot of these guys get completely worn out mentally and physically. So they have said that they're not going to they're trying not to overwhelm them, and it is a little frustrating from this side to see that second round rookie or early second round rookie as well not starting quite yet. But like I said, he did get one start 2 weeks ago. He's been getting a little bit more playing time especially against Miami, but he's still not starting as of the moment.
Panthers fans, football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet for Panthers tickets anymore, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? Well, if you can find better prices for the same seats on another site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Look, there's storylines all over the place for the Panthers this year at Bank of America Stadium. The defense playing lights out. Be there to see it all. Visit TickPick.com/roar today and use the promo code ROAR to save $10 on your first order of Panthers tickets. That's TickPick.com/roar, promo code ROAR.
That makes sense. I get it too. I used to be really hard on Ron Rivera, especially. He used to take rookies very, very slowly. But over time, I kind of understood. I know one year they had like a ton of injuries, so the rookies were forced in action early. And mm-hmm. I mean, they had their struggles, but I get it. I understand like the entire, especially for a guy like Grant, who UCF did have a season last year. He did go to the Senior Bowl, and then he went straight to off-season training and all that. Mm-hmm. Wherever it is, California, Texas, Florida, wherever they're training, and then straight to the draft and rookie minicamp, OTAs. Trust me, I totally get that perspective from coaches too. Let's move on now to Arthur Smith and his offense. And I mean, this is a unit that has looked like it's shown a bit of light recently. And I know one of our good mutual friends, Charles McDonald, was kind of making fun of Arthur Smith earlier in the year because they weren't using their ultra talented tight end prospect enough. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, I think it was a trip to the UK that sort of broke him out. And he continued that last week in Atlanta too. And he looks exactly like the type of player you expect that you saw in college. And that's just like really encouraging, not only for himself, but for the Falcons too. And what type of like schematic, I mean, because right now what I'm seeing with Arthur Smith is similar to what I saw in Tennessee last year. Obviously, he doesn't have Derrick Henry, so he's not going to pound the rock necessarily like he probably did in Tennessee, but he's still utilizing a lot of play action and opening up the middle of the field. But let's just focus on Pitts right now. Like, what type of kind of value has he just brought to this offense, and like what are you seeing from him as far as just like his development goes?
Ooh, good question. I love talking about Kyle Pitts. And if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said maybe we drafted the wrong guy, because early on he was not playing well. Obviously, tight end typically takes players of you know, a longer time to kind of transition into the NFL. You have your blocking schemes, you've got your you've got your different routes, things like that. There's kind of a lot more for them to learn. And you know, the first few games, like he had a couple of bad drops. He was you know, struggling just in single coverage, and you're kind of looking at him like, you know, a fourth overall pick, you're kind of hoping he comes down with that football. And yeah, Charles McDonald was, you know, was definitely right. I don't think that they had started off, you know, using Pitts to, you know, using him in the best way to use him. And I think we've seen that. I think we've seen that more recently. I'm not sure whether or not if that's, you know, they're kind of developing his plays and teaching him these new plays, and that's kind of what it is, or if he's just getting more comfortable with that, or what exactly happened. But he is awesome. And this is like, I've watched Julio Jones obviously for the last decade, and like, that guy is a freak. But I like, Kyle Pitts has done some just phenomenal stuff. Even if you're just watching the Miami game, you know, he was lined up one-on-one with
Xavier Howard.
Yeah. With Howard, and he like, this guy's a top five corner. Actually, I'm not sure exactly where he ranks this year, but he has been a top five, maybe even a top three corner. And it just looks so effortless. Like, it's crazy. Like, he's breaking through double coverage. He's pulling in these footballs, and like, his arms are so freakishly long. Like these corners, like, they don't even have a chance. Like, if they're just on the wrong side of him, like, he just reaches out like, you know, like Calvin Johnson. He just has this crazy wingspan, and he's just like effortlessly grabbing these catches just with one hand. It's absolutely insane. Like, he really has broken out the last 2 weeks. You know, I think there are a lot of like really interesting stats on how Kyle Pitts is being used. Cause I think early on he was used a little bit more like a, you know, typical tight end. You're going for some, you know, some short passes across the middle, something like that. But the last few weeks he's been lined up out of wide receiver, and he's just had a number of deep routes, and he's faster than all these corners. And then even the corners that can keep up, he's bigger than all these corners. It's just so crazy to see this mismatch come on so early. Like, I'm super happy to watch these Falcons to see Kyle Pitts play, because he does not play like anybody else I've seen in the NFL. And I'm just hoping we keep seeing it, you know, keep seeing it move, keep seeing it kind of improved on. But I can say I feel extremely lucky to move on from a Julio Jones directly to a Kyle Pitts type freak who can just seemingly catch almost anything you can throw at him. So it's been phenomenal to watch as an Atlanta fan.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he just has everything you want out of like a pass catcher. And I'm not gonna even call him a tight end, because like you said, he was split out wide. I mean, certainly like there's some moments where he's kind of in line as a traditional tight end, and he's had some decent moments blocking too. I think it was against the Bucks and the Jets, I noticed he did a good job in like run blocking, creating some angles for Patterson or Davis. So yeah, I was a huge fan of him. And I saw someone went on Twitter yesterday, I don't know how reliable it is, they said that the Jaguars had him as their number one player ahead of Trevor Lawrence, but because, you know, a quarterback is more important, they went with the smart move there. But it, to me, it's kind of reminds, let's go back to 2011, and it's funny because AJ Green and Julio, like you said, and it's funny because the two teams who drafted receivers or pass catchers this year, Falcons and Bengals, look to have found their long-term like replacements for Julio and AJ at, you know, the top 10 of the draft. So it's kind of funny how, you know, deja vu it is in terms of like just how the draft sort of repeats itself.
No kidding. Lucky for Bengals fans, they at least have a, you know, a real quarterback to throw to, Jamar Chase.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that like a shot at your quarterback?
Oh, no, it was more of a shot at Andy Dalton. Like, they had A.J. Green, and I know that they made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs, Green and Dalton's, first 4 or 5 years.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, because they were – that's right. I actually forgot about that, because they did have a pretty stout defense. I guess just in retrospect, I'm looking back, and I'm like, oh, it's like they wasted A.J. Green. Maybe that was wrong.
Yeah, no, they had a pretty good team, but they just were similar to like the 2008 to 2011 Falcons. You guys made the playoffs, you know, Matt Ryan's like first 4 or 5 years, and then finally in 2012 he made the championship game and didn't really break out after that. And that, I think that's sort of the trajectory the Bengals took as well. But sticking with your signal call with the Falcons, and you mentioned it, how has Matt Ryan been able to adjust this offense? Because he's certainly a different quarterback than Tannehill and I think he's better in my opinion. He doesn't have the arm strength, to just really zip the ball in there like Tannehill does, but he's much more of a cerebral quarterback. He does a lot of things really well. And again, arm strength is never going to be his calling card, but it's just so rare to find a quarterback like him. Where you can just forget about the arm strength and kind of you have the ultimate trust that he knows what he's doing. And I'm curious to kind of get your opinion on how he's kind of transformed himself and been able to fit in this Arthur Smith offense.
That is actually an interesting question because, in the off season, I was quite curious to see how this shakes out because Ryan obviously didn't have a great 2020 I think even 2019, really under Dirk Cutter, it was, a lot of kind of uneven performances that, we had seen with Dirk Cutter's offense for quite a while. But one of the main reasons I really liked the Arthur Smith hire is that Smith runs a very similar offense to Kyle Shanahan. So obviously Arthur Smith came up under Matt LaFleur, who came up under Kyle Shanahan, and they're running, they're running similar schemes. Obviously some things have changed, some things they do, some things they don't do. But Matt Ryan did win, MVP in 2016. Don't really want to talk about the end of that Super Bowl that year. But, he did have a phenomenal season with in this scheme. I was really encouraged to see that they did hire Arthur Smith. And the plan, in theory, was at least to bring back this same scheme that, Matt Ryan was so good in previously. And, it's been great seeing it so far. Not so much the first three or so weeks when no one could block. I think they've kind of figured that out. But I mean, like I said, if you check PFF's quarterback ratings for the last 4 weeks, Matt Ryan is number one. And it, if you're watching, you really can see and kind of understand that because he looks like he looks like he's just right back into it. Arm strength was never super there. He doesn't have that Jamarcus Russell cannon sort of arm thing going on, but he's so good with he's so good with so many little things that he does, whether or not it's how he moves in the pocket, who he's looking for. And I mean, I would just say consider the London game against the Jets. That was without Calvin Ridley, that was without Russell Gage, his two starting wide receivers, and those backups, those are a bunch of replacement level they're a bunch of replacement level guys. I think that's really the nicest way you could even put that. But he was so good at he was so good at running that offense that it didn't even matter. So it's good to see those wide receivers back, but Matt Ryan just looks supremely comfortable back in there. That if you would have asked me week one, I would have said I don't know, we might need to be looking for another quarterback in the offseason, because it looks like this is not working. And now You know, now we're almost halfway through the season, and I'm like, yeah, he could play for another 2, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe in this, especially if we keep the same scheme. You've got you've got a lot of players he can develop with. Hopefully, at some point, they'll get out of cap hell and be able to sign some talented people. But like, he looks so good, so comfortable in this offense. But you know, fingers crossed, like every Atlanta sports fan's qualified answer, fingers crossed that as soon as we play a good team, that doesn't disappear. But right now, it's awesome.
Just looking at your schedule, you guys, after this week, it's at Saints, at Cowboys, and then you host the Patriots on Thursday night. So we'll see
how, we'll see. There's
that 3 week stretch will be very telling. But let's kind of finish this up here with this very unique running back rotation, and I am so happy to see Cordarrelle Patterson thriving. I was a huge fan of his coming out of the 2013 draft. I thought that this guy is just he's just not only is he just so explosive, but he has like the vision and just like the ability to find open areas of the field and just attack it. And he does so like by breaking tackles, by consistently moving his feet. He's just like he's an athletic freak, for to coin a better term. And the way they're kind of utilizing him as a traditional running back has been, so great to see. And I mean, Davis, many Panthers fans know him. We know what we're getting with Mike Davis. He's a very strong and slippery runner too. He doesn't really lose many yards, kind of bounces off contact well, but I want to stick with Patterson. I mean, is this Arthur Smith's like version of Derrick Henry?
Ooh, he might be. So I'm glad you at least had a little bit of background there on Cordarrelle Patterson, because when we signed him, I said, what the hell are they doing with that $4 million? We don't have any cap space, and they're signing this guy, like this wide receiver potentially is a running back. Like it didn't make any sense. Like he'd been a at least in the NFL, he was a career wide receiver, maybe kind of a return specialist, special teams guy. And they paid him a good amount of money. He's, on the wrong side of 30, and said he's going to be the running back. And it sounded like a terrible idea. And holy crap, was I wrong on that? He is taken to that running back spot so well. And you do mention Derrick Henry, obviously the Arthur Smith connection, but Cordarrelle Patterson, he's a large individual. He's 6'2", 6'3". He's a good 220, I think probably a little weightier than that. He's a tough guy to he's definitely a tough guy to bring down. He's been the biggest surprise for me out of this whole team all year, because you weren't expecting a lot, and then he had a 3-touchdown game, and like he's just he's a little bit of a matchup nightmare. I think our defensive coordinator Dan Pease had said, you usually have your defense kind of subbing in, subbing out players depending on the personnel that's on the field, and with a guy like Patterson, you're not really sure. Like, okay, is he going to be lighting up at wide receiver? You need to put a corner in. Is he going to be going in? Is he going to be carrying the ball? Maybe that needs to be a linebacker or something like that. You're not really sure. And he just has so much versatility. That size, not Derrick Henry size, but like he is a much bigger guy, whether running the ball or catching the ball out of the backfield, like he's able to really do, he's really able to do all that. He even line up out wide. And he's been so good at it, just as this like multi-purpose weapon that quite honestly, I don't think I've ever seen that transition from any NFL player, like switching positions, I believe at 30, and then having at least the start that he's had. It's absolutely crazy. And I think quite honestly, Cordarrelle Patterson is probably the one reason defenses can't just just bracket Kyle Pitts and give up whatever the rest of the team can give up, because Patterson can just absolutely run through a lot of players, and he'll definitely make he's definitely made a lot of teams pay for to pay for that. So it's crazy to see, and I'm super hopeful for Cordarrelle Patterson as well as the Falcons, of course. that he's able to keep it up and just, you know, finish off with just this absolutely spectacular season.
No doubt. And I'm certainly happy to see him thriving. Sucks that it's in Atlanta, but hey, whatever works, I guess. Let me just get your full perspective on, you know, this organization and kind of like what direction they're going in, because from obviously my perspective and from outsiders, there's just been a lot of confusion on where the Falcons are going. A lot of mixed signals with the decision to move on from Julio. They didn't draft a quarterback in the top five. They seem to be kind of running it back, but not running back. But just as someone who covers the team and follows them closely, like, what exactly is like your interpretation of like the direction the organization is going? Obviously new GM, new head coach, but I just want to get your perspective here before we sign off for the night.
All right. So let me answer that with an example. So we had spent all offseason wondering what moves Atlanta was going to make, because really you had two aging veterans on these very expensive contracts. And if you get rid of them, you are then going to be going into rebuilding. Or if you keep them, you're going to kind of roll the dice and play it out, see if you can, see if you can make it work. Those two players, obviously, being Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. So you can look at Terry Fontenot, the new general manager. He came from the Saints, and he kind of specialized with helping to build a team around an old aging quarterback and, keeping them competitive throughout that. And then unexpectedly, they traded Julio. So you're kind of like half in, half out of, rebuilding or are you retooling? Like, I think that's why there's a lot of confusion, because you could have made the move for the future, and they didn't do that. But then also they traded away Julio, which he's been pretty beat up over in Tennessee. But at the same time, it was just kind of like the Julio thing was not great. I understand that if they say that their hand was kind of forced in it. So we spent a lot of time wondering, okay, is this going to be, say, Ryan's last year? Like, what's going on with this? Because, like I mentioned before, they do have the cap issues. They're going to have the cap issues this year. They're also going to have them next year. They're not going to be able to, sign a lot of people. Either way, they would have a window in there where, if they were to rebuild, it would still be, say, like 2023 before you're able to kind of really do that fuller rebuild. Two, 3 weeks into the season, it looked like they had completely botched the offseason. It looked like they didn't know what the hell they were doing. It just looked like a big giant mess, because the team was playing like trash. The offensive line was a mess. The offense was everything was a mess. But now that things seem to be kind of progressing, it looks like maybe they're retooling. I'm still quite honestly not sure. Ryan, like I said, looks great in this offense. I mean, I can see a situation where they go ahead and extend him, drop his cap number, and kind of keep things going. But quite honestly, I don't really know exactly what the plan was. And I don't know if that plan is changing. I'm not really sure if it's in a wait and see scenario. It's I don't know. It, as of right now, I think we're all just kind of playing it by ear and seeing what this team does.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think if they go through another draft cycle or offseason cycle, I should say, and really, I just add more talent defensively, especially again through the draft. I think they should be at least competing for a wild card berth. I mean, they could be still this year, but who knows when the schedule kind of toughens up how they'll perform. But I mean, whenever you have a franchise quarterback, I think it just makes your life a lot easier. And I think that's what Ryan is showing these past few weeks here. And it's I guess it's encouraging for the rebuild. You don't have to kind of take a very long look at it, but I certainly also find it, I found it ironic that the guy who put you guys in this position, Thomas Dimitroff, was did an entire like media tour of podcasting around the NFL. God,
so it was, frustrating.
It was just actually, like, I mean, hey, I get it. I get it. Look, I mean, there's been other GMs who have gotten fired who probably don't do that, but I think Dimitroff's kind of charisma and the way he seems friendly with the media just made him a natural fit. But it was just ironic listening to him and hearing him talk about team building, and then next thing I know, I'm seeing the Falcons in such a bad position financially.
My favorite part was he was asked what he would do if he was still the general manager of the Falcons. So like, what would you do it for? And he said, I would draft Justin Fields, get rid of Matt Ryan, keep Julio Jones, and kind of keep that going. Obviously, we're way too early to know if that was the if that would have been the wrong or right decision, but early signs show that that would have been a disaster. Julio Jones injured, Justin Fields struggling quite mightily, and Kyle Pitts looking awesome. So glad he is the former GM and not the current GM.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Matt, is there anything you want to plug here before we sign off for the evening?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm sure this is going out to a lot of Carolina Panthers fans, but you can go over to the Falcoholic we will have five questions with someone from Cat Scratch Reader posted on Sunday. We'll have a lot of good info if you're trying to catch up on the Falcons and find out what you need to know about Sunday's opponent.
Once again, you can find him on Twitter at Falcoholic Matt. He does a really good job, and he always has a pretty good sense of humor too with the Falcons. So he's not one of those crazy homers who's always looking to stir trouble. He has a pretty good perspective, and really appreciate his insights tonight. Thanks again, Matt.
All right. Thank you, Billy.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.